I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 457. It might be a slice of someone's life, but it's not mine. Home of the best.
The fucking best.
Girl gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Happy October, bro.
Aw, happy October. Fallsgiving to you too. It's chilly as shit.
It is. Like, this morning I woke up and I said, I'm gonna have to take out my jacket. Cause like I've been playing with my sweaters and my hoodies, and I'm like, it's a little too brisk for a hoodie today.
Yeah, I finally had to retire the flip-flops.
Oh, finally?
Yeah, I took the trash out, and my toes were like, bitch! I was like, all right, guys, I'll put on real shoes. Are you happy? And they were like, yes. So, Massachusetts, frigid, there's the weather, because it is fall, just in case you didn't know, and Massachusetts is feeling it. But we're not here to talk about the weather. I mean, we could talk about the weather. I have more things to talk about than the weather.
It's PSL season.
Look, I am not fucking Willard Scott, okay? So there's no need for me to talk about the weather. I mean, I'm chunky, but I'm not, you know, chunky. You know what I'm saying? But I've got anime stuff to talk about this week.
I do, too.
You've got anime stuff to talk about this week. I'm going to sneak a little games up in that bitch real quick. Just sneak it, just like on a curve. You know, because we were all video game last week. So I thought it would be fair for us to be all anime this week. Because it's a give and take.
I like the sound of that.
And unfortunately, I don't have gadgets to talk about because my Rock Band is still not working. Because there hasn't been an update yet.
I'm really surprised because I know our friend the DCD was having.
He reverted his Xbox back to non-beta dashboard.
Yeah.
And I'm not doing that. Because that requires a wipe of your Xbox and then re-download of any of your games. So, nope. I'll just wait. So, Rock Band review for me. Still TBD. T-B and then D. But I do have a gadget to talk about because I did get some new gear this week. I retired my old set of Beats headphones for a couple of reasons. One, they were 3 years old. Two, I had a friend in need. And three, I was like, hey, I haven't bought any new headsets in a while, so maybe I should get one that I can do the podcast with. Because unfortunately, my old Beats, when I would wear them as my headset when we did podcasts, sound would actually bleed through because the cup didn't make a perfect seal on my ear. Because I have little teeny tiny Keebler elf ears. And so my sound would actually bleed through and get picked up on my mic, which created that weird echo that you guys heard on some podcasts.
Yeah.
So I was like,
I heard that once too, and I
feel. No, that is not that. It was my headphone not making a seal. So I was like, I need to get a set that actually fits on my ear well to do this. And all of my other headsets are either Bluetooth headsets, which I record our podcast on a MacBook, which does not nicely work with a USB mic. I have to use an adapter because it doesn't have USB ports, which is fine. I knew that going in. But because I use the power port as the adapter port so I can use my beautiful Yeti mic, it means that I'm not plugged into power while recording this podcast. So it's always kind of a little bit of race the devil to make sure I got enough battery power to get through a podcast. So turning on Bluetooth on top of that, not the best, brightest, or smartest idea if you really want to play Race the Battery Devil. So I don't want to use any of my Bluetooth headsets, so I really needed a headset that plugs in to the computer. So to the Apple store I went, because that's where you go if you're going to buy Beats.
Did you get the headphones that Jamal was... Not Jamal, Ryan. That
Lucius... Who the hell, Jamal? From Empire. Okay, all right. I was like...
That's from this week's
You know episode. Somebody named Jamal?
No, I don't. I don't. But I see one on TV, and I know his real name is Jesse. Yes. But anyway, that's beside the point. But on the episode of Empire, Lucius Lyon had these headphones that he had a beat that he created for Hakeem. Yeah, I don't know anybody named Hakeem in real life either. Don't judge me.
I know two Hakeems. Just saying.
I don't know none, but that's okay. But... Lucius was
and one of my that bros like, named Hakeem. His last name is Abdul Jamar. So, just saying. Go ahead.
Oh, no, but I was just saying the headphones that, because Lucius was holding these headphones that kind of looked like gems on the episode. And I thought because you balling and stuff that maybe those were the headphones you bought at the Apple store.
Look, I'm not balling.
Balling? Okay? You bought two Apple watches.
Not at the same time.
But you have them. I you know what watch I've got? My phone, which is an iPhone 5S. Okay? That's my watch.
And they're not the gold ones.
Okay.
But I'm still, not balling.
You got two. I got none.
I have one. My husband has one.
You're gonna get one for Nugget.
He bought his. I am not getting a watch for Nugget. My dog is not getting a watch. I am not that stupid. I'm a great many things. That dumb is not one of them. So, anyway, I'm not recalling the headphones that you're talking about, although I did watch this week's episode.
Oh, my God. It was so...
Oh, my God. All right. But anyway, no, I ended up trying on a bunch of sets. I've had Solos before. I gave them to you.
Yep, I'm using right now.
I wanted a cup size very similar.
Yeah, the Solos, the red ones? The Project Red? Yeah, yes. Then I'm using those right now.
Yeah. So the Solo, I wanted something that had a cup, the size of the Beat Solos, because that fits really well on my ear. The Pros are really nice headphones, but the cup is usually too big, so I don't get a good seal around my ear. And my ear is not small enough to fit all the way inside of the cup.
It's so big.
It's just a weird size. It's like right in between being tiny and not tiny. So
like medium?
Yes. It's like a smallish medium.
Oh, I hate those types.
So it's not quite small. It's not quite medium. It's schmedium.
Schmedium.
And so the Pros were out. As much as I love the Pro Series, I don't like the Pro Series price tag, especially because I don't get the Apple discount anymore because I don't work at Apple. So I was looking at the Solos, and my only complaint about the Solos is I have a tendency to, especially when I'm first getting headsets used to my head, I have a tendency, instead of sliding them on from the back like you're supposed to, I tend to pull them wide and then place them down on my head, which you're not supposed to do, especially with the Solos, because you can, in fact, crack the plastic rim. And once that's done, bye-bye headphones. So I really didn't want to go the Solo route if I didn't have to. And I didn't want an in-ear because I just don't like in-ears in my head for long periods of time. And we tend to run our mouths on this podcast. So I didn't think that an in-ear would be the best solution. So I was hoping that they had something else. And outside of that, if not, then I was going to end up going with the Solos for the podcast. And I was in luck because they did have another option. Have you heard of the Mixer, M-I-X-R, series of Beats?
No.
So they're designed by David Guetta, and they're designed with DJs in mind. And so they are not a plastic set. They're a mix of plastic and metal. And both of the ear cups have jacks in them for you to put your plug into. So whether you're right-handed or left-handed, you can move the connector plug to whichever ear makes more sense for you. So you don't have to worry about your arm getting in the way.
Okay.
So most headphones, the jack is typically in the left ear, which if you're right-handed, really sucks if you're working out or you do a lot of typing because you pick your hand up and you end up pulling the jack and you're like, ah! Either your computer's pulling out or your headphones pulling out. And either way, a pullout happens and you're not happy about it. So I like that I can put the jack actually in the right ear, which keeps the cable completely on the outside of my right hand. Because as you know, I use my hands a lot when I talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do. So I liked that a lot about the headset. I like the feel of them on my head. They don't pinch. And that's another thing that you have to be careful of when you're shopping for headsets is, you know, do they pinch your head? Does it take too long for them to relax into your shape and the width of your head to get comfortable? And a lot of times with a plastic headset, they don't really have a whole lot of give for a while. So they can, in fact, pinch your head, which makes it uncomfortable to wear for long periods of time. The mixers don't do that. And the thing that I really, really liked about the mixer headset is that each of the ears rotates independent. Ooh. So they're a collapsible headset. And so I can rotate one ear back completely and have it off my ear, again, with DJs in mind. So they can have one ear listening to the sound that's actually out in the room and then the other on whatever they're cueing. And what I really liked about the mixer as I put it on in the store, and the main reason that I like to go to Apple stores when I'm trying out headsets, is because they have them connected to everything so you can hear what music sound likes in them, and you can get a feel for what they feel like on your head and not buy something, take it home, open it up, get it on and be like, oh no, this isn't going to work, and I have to go back and pay a restocking fee. And so when I flip the right ear back, I can actually position it so it makes a perfect seal on the backside of my head. So I have no sound bleed through, which I really like. And they're noise canceling. So on top of all things, I'm isolated in what I'm listening to, whether that's music on my mobile device or my computer traveling. I have actually already used them on a train, and it worked out really well. So I was very happy. And the price point isn't like, ah! It's, ooh.
But it's not like, take me out to dinner first, damn.
Yeah, it's not the $399 for the pros.
Okay.
So the mixers come in at I want to say that they were, like, with tax, $169. Ooh. So like $149. So they're not a crazy, crazy expensive headset. You know, when you think of a noise-canceling headset, you're usually in that $100 to $150 range. So they're not crazy expensive for their category. They do come with a nice carrying case, which all Beats headsets do, and they come with both a pro cable, so no mic and no music control cable, which I use with my computer, so that way I don't have competing mic and I don't have any grounding issues. And it also comes with a mic music control cable, so if I'm using it with my phone or things like that, I can take a call with it and have a built-in mic and volume control, and when I'm listening to music, advance tracks, pause tracks, and go back, which is really nice. So for, you know, again, $169, all said and done, not too bad. Not too shabby.
No, that's not bad at all.
If I must say so myself, and I do.
Like, I could afford that if I saved.
Yes. If you saved. So, but you've got some other things lined up for yourself that you want to accomplish. So that's fine. But I have to say that so far I've been playing with them all week, testing them on different stuff. I first connected them to my phone because I listened to a couple of tracks when I was in the Apple store. Because again, my tests for good headphones are, do they thump? That's what I'm looking for in a headphone. I don't really listen to a lot of jazz and classical, so I don't need something that has super, super crisp highs. I'm looking for something that has a good mid and low range. I listen to a lot of EDM, trap, house, hip-hop, M-pop music. And so I want to feel the bass in my head, when I'm listening.
You want a head massage. You want
it
to pulsate through.
I do, because that's primarily what I'm listening to. You know, there's a lot of Zedd and Galantis and Kanye and Kendrick. And so there are a lot of really rich 808s going on in a lot of that music, and I want to hear all of it. And so that's what I'm looking for in a headset. If it doesn't have that, it's not a headset that I buy. And these definitely had it. I kicked off with a Cascade Reed mix when I was in the store. I listened to Janet Jackson's No Sleep, which is a heavy, heavy bassline track. And if you haven't heard that yet off of her new album, you should probably give it a try. Even if you're not a Janet fan, just, you know, J. Cole on the track is just like, and the bassline is like, butter. So I listened to that, and then I also listened to King Kunta by Kendrick while I was in the store, and then the final track that I listened to was a remix of Coco. That's, I want to say it's a GTA remix, but it might not be. But it passed the bass test, we'll say that.
Okay.
Which was really nice. So, and in a noisy Apple store, if the rest of the store is blocked out when you have music on at mid-volume, you're doing something right. So it was an easy purchase for me, and I've been really, really happy with them so far. And the ultimate test, obviously, will be this podcast, because if there's no echo, then we are good to go.
I haven't heard one yet.
So that makes me happy. So if you're in the market for a headset and you're looking for something to kind of knock the world out but also give you the option of letting the world in, and your budget is, you know, sub 200, I would definitely recommend taking a look at the Mixer MIXR set by Beats by Dre. I could not be happier with this purchase. So, and they come in three colors. They have a red color, which the store was all out of, because whenever I have a chance to buy a product red product, I do. And I would have bought the product red version if the store had them, but they were out of stock, and I definitely needed a headset before we did this podcast. So I was like, well, it's either white or black. And I have found, both with the Beats line as well as some other headsets that I've had, including a Triton headset, white just shows its age really quickly and goes very quickly from being white to off-white to green.
Are you trying to say that black don't crack?
I mean, it don't, though. So...
Yeah. Black don't crack, even in your appliances.
So, because that's the only really big complaint that I've had about previous Beats that I've gotten, because I liked the look of the white headsets, but they very quickly show their age and dinge and... You know, I'm not about to be putting a shit ton of rubbing alcohol and take off lacquer accidentally on headsets. So Mixer headsets are pretty fucking boss and actually affordable. So they are a wired headset. So if you're looking for wireless, you're going to get bumped up, and you're obviously going to play more because they're wireless. But the Solos do have series that are wireless. They also have the Active series now, so those are just vibrantly colored rims, basically the outside of the cups. Neon colors, fuchsia, lime green, and I believe a blue with a kind of matte gray charcoal almost coloring to them. But there's no difference in the performance between the Active Solos, wireless Solos, or the wired Solos. It's all just price point, because they all have the same bass range, mid-range, and high range. But those wireless ones are definitely going to cost you more. They're in the $250-$300 range, which is a little bit of a owie.
Well, I mean, unless you got a strong, stable job and really good credit.
Or you can write it off on your taxes. So there's that. And then you have the Studio Series, which also has a wireless counterpart that's in the similar range there, up in the 300s to mid-350s. And then you have the Pro Series, which is basically for, like, sound engineers who are fucking around in Logic or Fruity Loops or Propeller Head or Ableton, you know, all that music making shit. They're ridiculous range across the board, and they're ridiculously priced at $399.95.
Yikes.
Yeah, not my budget.
Hashtag not my budget.
Yeah. Also, kind of wish it was my budget, because those would be baller, but, no.
We got it like that.
I'm at the baby baller level, so I went with the David Guetta guys. And, as much as I have, like, negative things to say about David Guetta, and he's a crybaby, he did put in some really good input on these headsets, and I like the rotating piece, and it feels like a really strong headset when you take them out of their case. They've got a little bit of weight to them, again, because it's a mix of plastic and metal, because they're, you know, designed to travel and be used by DJs, so they have to last, and I really like that. And I hope that they bring this across to some of the other headsets in the Beats line and move away from the plastic feel and to this kind of mixture of plastic on the outside of the cups and metal, because it's really a nice change in the Beats experience. So that's my gadget.
Okay. You have a very good gadget, by the way.
Thank you, Candy. Thank you, Candy. Let's talk anime.
Okay, great.
Now, I had kind of mentioned to you, sis, a series that I watched thinking it was a slice of life. Quickly learning that it was not. That gave me a lot of what the fucks. And also my least favorite thing of all ever in anime. Incest. Oh,
and not even incest, but like le twincest.
And the added level of, oh, fuck, no, twincest. Okay, because twincest is above incest. Because you've got incest and you're just like, dude, that's your sister. Dude, that's your brother. Or, you know.
Yeah, that's what incest is. Hey, that's your first cousin.
There's a lot of states that allow that, so.
I know, but still, some people be like.
No, I mean, that's a no in my book.
Like, no thank you.
Ready? We share chromosomes at any level? That's a big
At the fact that you could turn to my mom and be like, hey, auntie, no.
Yeah.
No.
You're cut off. So, incest is one rung of hell to the no, that's fucked up. Twincest is a whole nother level of that is fucked up. So, the series is called Yosuba no Sara.
Yep.
And,
or in English, it's In Solitude, We Are Finally Alone.
Yep. And I guess the English title should have told me something, but I didn't actually see the English title until a couple of days into it being out, because the whole 12-episode arc is on Crunchyroll. And I'm like, oh, here's one I can marathon. But when they first put it up, you know how when they're first putting things up, they have no real information?
Yep.
Just like a little synopsis and then like episode one and episode two and just play. So I didn't know. And they didn't have the English title initially when I started watching episodes on there. It just had its Japanese title. So I started to watch it. And the first episode.
Sorry, bro.
No flags.
Seemed kind of normal.
Thought I was getting into a slice of life.
Well, I mean, not necessarily. Because, I mean, even the first episode, they are clearly showing us, one, the protagonists. And you can clearly tell that the sister
has brother issues. But that's a running thing in a lot of slices of life. Like, you have a lot of tsundere sisters who are like, you can't have my brother. No one's good for my brother. So, like, again, no big flags. I'm just thinking, oh, they're twins, and she really doesn't think that any girl is, like, good for a brother because she's giving him shit all the time and he can never please her. It's got to be because she's really kind of into him. I didn't think really kind of into him. I just thought, again, oh, here we go with the whole brother-sister complex. All right. Well, that's going to set up when he probably gets interested in somebody in school, he and his sister having fights and the girl having fights. And like in my head, I'm like, so where this is probably going to go is there's going to be some kind of thing that happens and the girl's going to come to the sister's rescue. And that's when she'll start to slowly come around and accept her as like, all right, you might be good enough for my brother. Like, this is where I'm thinking because they're high school kids.
Yeah.
So
no.
I was wrong.
No.
I was really wrong. Yeah. Because basically this series is a hentai.
Yep.
Had no clue about that.
Surprise butt sex.
Yeah. And you know, you shouldn't have surprise butt sex. You should know the butt sex is coming. All parties involved
should be aware.
Should be aware and in total agreement about the butt sex.
Butt sex?
Yeah, you're so right. So the story focuses around this set of twins. Sora, the girl, and her brother, whose name is escaping me right now.
Haruka.
Yeah. Yeah, because she calls him Haru all the time.
Haru. Everybody seems to call him Haru.
And their parents, who were doctors, have passed away.
In a tragic car accident.
Yep. And so they, without having family members to take them in, have moved back to a town that they previously lived in with their parents, where their parents practiced, because the house is in their family name, and are returning to school there to meet up with old friends and just, you know, kind of live. And so,
well, I mean, they were there when they were really young, and they moved, obviously, because both their parents, one, became very, very good doctors, and they moved out. So they haven't been back in a while. They were, I want to say, the way that the animation is drawn, they're clearly like 5.
Yeah, so it's almost like a full decade.
So that, like, they've been a while, and Sora doesn't seem to really retain much of anything of of this town, and Haru
goes into the whole very young when they left.
And I mean, but Haru seems to have retained a little bit more, which is why when they get there, for one, you got to give these guys some props, you know, because they're walking for a chunk of time.
Yeah.
And then finally they get to a convenience store that happens to rent bikes. And Haru's like, oh, well, I rented a bike and it's got a 2-seat so we can, like, bike the rest of the way. Because Sora is bitching the whole entire time.
Yes.
Like, she kind of comes off as very similar to the character in Himoto, if you've ever watched that.
I have not.
Okay, well, essentially, it's a brother who's, like, out of college and working, and he's supporting his high school sister, who's a genius. And when she's at school, she's the epitome of, like, a boy's wet dream. Like, she's gorgeous and she's smart and everybody wants to be friends with her. But the minute she gets home, she takes off her clothes, she puts on, like, this cloak, and she becomes the most laziest thing on the planet. And she's pretty much, she acts like a baby. And, like,
okay.
And apparently there's a gap moe about this type of girl. And frankly, every time I watch an episode with the Biffle, I'm like, I hate her. I'm like, if I were her brother, I would have kicked her out the first time. She was all like, go get my manga because I already took my pants off, which is clearly something I would say in my own life.
Yes, actually. And maybe, like, that's why you hate her, because she's a little too close to home.
Oh, God. Oh, I can't. And everyone's like, she's so great. I'm like, you don't see through her facade. She's so fake. Like, I get so annoyed when I watch these episodes because all these people dig her. And I'm like, they shouldn't. She's horrible. But anyway, Sora kind of reminds me of that character because, you know, she heavily depends on her brother for everything. And her brother, Haru, is, you know, obviously trying to do the best he can by both of them in this very tough situation, and doesn't want to force her to, you know, rush into starting life over, because obviously both of their parents are dead. They're orphans. There's a lot of, you know, heavy stuff going on, and he wants her to take her time, which he reminds her every day, while he's, you know, jumping right back into school and reconnecting with people while she's at home bored. And is mad that he's not at her beck and call every time she texts him or calls him.
Right. And one of the things in their dynamic is because she was really sick as a child, they spent a lot of time apart. So Haru is very, very protective of her not wearing herself out, not overdoing it. And because their parents are gone, has really taken on the role of adult and provider.
Right. So,
That's an angle to throw onto things.
It is. And I mean, and even in the first few episodes, because things don't really kind of start getting weird until the end of episode 3 into the beginning of episode 4.
Yep.
And they're really good at making them, the introduction to the weird, a very subtle thing.
Yep.
But at the same time,
but it's the only subtle time in the rest of the episodes.
Right, because the minute after it's been introduced, then, oh, well, okay, now it's just this obvious point that they want to drive home in the other half of the episode.
So take it away, Panda, because I really don't want to talk about this.
Okay, so as Haru is beginning to, one, reconnect with people who remember who he is and how significant his parents were to this rural town, you start seeing Sora at home getting jealous of all these connections that he's making. So she does get kind of jealous, and she decides that she's going to go back to school. Which, you know, apparently in her mind, I'm assuming she thought that she was going to end up in the same class as her brother, but she's not. Which also does not help the jealousy situation very much.
Not at all.
And as the episodes go, it seems like in episodes 4 to about 6, you see a timeline resolving between Haru and girl A, B, C, or D. Because they show you all the girls in the first episode because they all happen to be on this one road or in this one area that he and his sister are coming into.
Right,
and
this is based off of
a dating sim game.
Yep.
Which, the minute that I saw all the different archetypes of girls, I'm like, yep, here we go. So I was like, no wonder why this doesn't make sense. But then when you had brought it up, I was like, that's still not enough to seal the deal of why this doesn't make sense to her. And as you're watching it, because in the first conquest, as I'm air quoting it here, there is a well-to-do family in the rural town. And they have a daughter who is a violinist. And quite accomplished, I might add. And, like, she's, like, she's not the rep, but everyone has a lot of respect for her. She has pretty big boobies but
refined, quiet, yeah, restrained type.
But everyone kind of has this, you know, perception of her. And she kind of holds up to a T. And she has a friend, which I'm air quoting here, too, who is kind of the opposite. You know, very outgoing, wants to be your friend, very clumsy. But honest and, like, heart of pure fucking gold, who happens to be a shrine priestess at the local shrine in the area. And the refined one seems to be very protective of this girl. And, I mean, that kind of happens in most girl cliques anyway, but it seems a little bit more than
just a friend looking out for another friend.
And, you know, at first I thought that the refined girl was just probably in love with this girl. And, you know, and for a while there, they kind of set it up to make you think that could easily be what's going on.
Yep.
But it's not.
Nope.
and in that conquest of the violin girl, Haru, the main character, actually uncovers that girl and the overly exuberant happy girl are actually related.
Yep, they're sisters.
They're half sisters. Because of the father's indiscretion. And to keep it secret, he pretty much doesn't acknowledge the bright and happy one, but, you know, does allow her to stay at the shrine by herself that she has to maintain because there's no other maidens there. Like, she controls all of that. And the refined one is upset that he can't just admit that he's done wrong and do right by this daughter that he brought into this world. So, like, she has all this pride and resentment towards her father for what he's done. And while it's being resolved, Haru finds out, you know, through being the protagonist and obviously having to move the plot along, that the reserved girl actually doesn't have it all the facts straight, or is not willing to accept that maybe her father isn't as much of a dick as she is pinning him to be. And through proper timing and whatnot, he helps her discover that her father does acknowledge his daughter, even though he won't bring it to light. Like, he does support her in all of her shrine meeting duties and is very proud of her and everything that she's accomplished with the little that she's been given.
He meets with her secretly sometimes and gives her praise and attention and love, which she was not aware of.
Right. And as soon as that happened, because that's the resolution of the arc, which happens in every age game. So at that point, the girl, the heroine, the conquest that you're after, at that point, is just ready to bone. Like, she wants you to take her to the bone zone. And surely enough, after that gets resolved, you see Haru and this main girl going back to her house, which is this giant mansion that no one's ever really there, or it's just so big that you don't see people, and they're in her bedroom, and she's in this kimono, and then, oh no, the boobies are out, and they're being rubbed, and oh no, now he has his hands in her kimono, and like it gets really, really heavy, and all of a sudden, violin music's playing, and then it cuts to him on the shrine steps with this girl who's playing her violin and her now, you know,
acknowledged sister.
And he's just lost in the music, but it keeps cutting back to the scenes of, you know, the Bone Zone. And as soon as it's done, she finishes the song and she just kind of smiles and the episode ends. And you kind of are left with a, did it happen?
Or did it not happen? Because it kind of seems like it's a daydream because she even, like, yells like,
hey,
at...
Did you, right.
Are well, you dreaming? And then he's like, no, huh, what? And her sister is actually conked out of sleep. So you're like, okay, was that in his head? Or is it, in fact, in the little sister's head? Because she's real bubbly and has some ideas of her own, by the way.
Oh, she most certainly did.
So you're just like, wait, I'm so confused.
It seems like this series was really okay with the idea of brothers and sisters doing stuff, and potentially even sisters and sisters doing stuff.
Yeah, so you get to the end of the episode, and I'm like, wait, no, I'm confused. So as much as I don't really, like, enjoy, like, woohoo, hentai, I rewatched that episode. I'm like, maybe I missed a cue to really figure out if this is a dream in his head. Did it really happen? I'm like, because she makes no acknowledgement whatsoever. Like,
right.
Usually after people bone, they at least get blushy all when they look at each other.
And
none of that happens.
No.
So I'm like, I think it was a daydream. I don't know.
So after that gets resolved, the next heroine is actually the half-sister being acknowledged, her story. Now, the funny thing is, when that arc gets resolved on her end of it, it's actually proven that she's not biologically related to this family. And that what happened with her was, because the two sisters, the half-sisters were both born.
They have the same dad. They don't have the same mom.
But
so they're half sisters.
But the mother compounded onto the already the seediness. So she has her own thing because the other sister, the half sister, had a necklace that she was like, oh, this is the only thing I have of my mom. And when they were younger, when they were 5 years old, Haru met with her on the night of a festival because she was wearing her shrine maiden outfit and she had on this necklace.
The reserve girl has no relationship whatsoever with her mom because she's pissed at her mom because she believes that her mom could possibly be the other girl, the shiny happy girl. We should probably look up names here because it's going to get real confusing.
Oh, yeah.
The shrine maiden girl's mom. So she now has
Akira.
It in her head. Yeah,
Atsume Akira.
Yeah, she has it in her head that they're actually full siblings, and for some reason her mom just has disowned this girl because the parents of the twins actually delivered her, and they were born on the same day, and as it turns out, both mothers of the girls were in the same room when they delivered. And so she believes something happened. There's a possibility that, you know, the babies were switched. And the twins' grandmother even makes note of that. She's like, because she had that necklace. And so the only way she would have it is if her mother gave it to her. So it's a possibility that they were switched. And, oh my gosh, maybe the shrine maiden is the full-blooded daughter and the...
Oh no, scandal!
Yeah, like, but either way... This poor shrine maiden girl just has not been...
And she just gets it.
Given the love and has gotten the short end of the stick.
But she still smiles.
Yep.
With every step that she takes, she's
thankful. Haru sets out to find a resolution for her and just get to the truth, ultimately with a DNA test. And it resolves with the mother finally meeting up with everyone, oddly enough, on the day that the results come back from the DNA test.
Just to admit her...
Everything.
And yeah, to admit what she was involved in
and what the truth is to all people.
Everybody. And as soon as that happens, like I said, like in most Chase game, as soon as you solve the problem, the girl is ready to go to the bone zone. But you see Akira talking with Haru, and she's like, I would just like to be able to squeeze you, like, whenever I want. And he's like,
well, wait, back up. First, Haru's taking a bath, and she jumps into the bath with him.
Yeah.
And he's not expecting it.
Surprise!
And she's like, oh, we used to do this as kids. And then they have a little flashback, and you're like, yeah, when you're 4 and 5, it's not a big deal. But now,
we're adults now.
You got titties, so...
And I've always had a
big deal. And so, first, Haru's like, all embarrassed and turns around and tries to be back-to-back when she jumps in. First, when she's washing herself, because he thinks she's just going to wash up and then leave. But then she jumps in the tub. And then she sits on his lap, and she's like, oh, are you into these kinds of things? Because they show an animation of, like, an elephant trunk rising or a turtle's head rising. To let you know that Haru is aroused. And then she's like, oh, are you into these sort of things? Because if it's you, I'm okay with it. And then grabs his hand and puts it on her boob. And you're just like, whoa, time out. You're drawn to be, like, maybe, and this is on the outside pushing it, 14.
Right.
What in the fuck?
Anyway, after the bath, where it seems like maybe she's calmed down a little bit, she just kind of admits that she digs him and would like to be able to squeeze him, which sounds all innocent, and it does, until the images change.
Yep.
And it totally turns into, like I said, a trip to the bone zone.
No, but no, that's not the bone zone. What it turns into is a beast fuck.
Well, I was going to say, we went from tasteful booby rubbing and, like, outward DJ diddling to then ta-da, to literally doggy style, holding hands behind her back style.
Reverse, like, kinda, cowgirl.
Like, roughing it up.
And just like, she's maybe 14, dude. First maybe. Of all, how do you all know these positions? Second of all, what are y'all doing?
And while it's happening, the conversation about squeezing him is happening. And he's all like, well, we can't always be together. He's like, so I'll just do it over the phone while she's being in the back door.
Yep.
And it's really, really...
confusing.
Very. So I'm going to offer you...
Wait. But then the conversation ends, and you see them laying on their backs, both in shrine clothing, and Haru makes a comment of like, oh, man, we fell asleep in the tub. And you're like, wait. Yeah.
No.
Wait, no. Was this another hallucination?
No, it's not.
Oh, so, I don't understand.
Let me alleviate this for you.
And it's all wrong.
So in the H games.
I know about the H games, but anime.
No. But in the H game of this series, because it was an H game first, that they decided they were going to make an anime. The way all this stuff panned out, and this is really silly when I bring it up, the sexy times that happen were not initially a part of the story. It was a basic dating sim H game that after you dated them, a little addition to the chapter would happen, which would then allow you to have your sexual time with the girl. So if you cut all that out, if you cut all the sexy parts out when they show them in the anime, that's how the arc would end, with the violin girl finally playing a song because she's no longer ashamed that she loves her violin and hates it.
Or with the two of them laying on the floor in the shrine.
And that's right. Because they were not essentially part of the narrative, but they were a bonus.
So basically, the anime was, first we're going to play out all of the arcs, and then we're just going to throw everybody's sexy time in.
And they allowed it because...
someplace. But they
put it in the episode because they wanted to try to see what they could get away with, and because
they got away with a lot,
they did. But here's the thing,
because there's bars or shiny things covering anything,
and here is why. Because of the way that they put it in, during conversation that obviously that you're listening to does not go with the visual. I mean, and every once in a while you got a little, oh no, we shouldn't. But it was never, none of the sounds were overtly sexual because they hid them under the context of the original arc. So.
Well, that's a hell of a loophole.
It happens a lot.
I was not ready.
And they weren't going to warn you. Now, I guarantee you.
And then it just got worse.
It did. But that's what they did. They decided to throw in the sex scenes during the ending resolutions, knowing that there would be no vocalization of it, to then get labeled H, because you know the minute that it had been labeled etchy or H, there's no way Crunchyroll would have played it in its entirety without editing it out with, like, white bars or whatever else they do.
Correct.
So I tell you right now, given what's happened with this, is people are going to watch it. And some people are going to be A-okay with it, but there's going to be somebody who's not. And they're going to bring it up.
Well, there's going to be a lot of people because I am not okay.
So, but that's how they get.
But I'm not going to report it. But I am not okay. Because yeah. I mean, to each his own. But I am not okay.
So, and sadly, they do it
because
a lot.
It gets worse.
It does. It gets a lot. I know.
Okay.
I watched it. I know.
So bad. Just no. No, guys, not against a tree. Bark hurts.
It does hurt.
No.
So that's how.
And
that's
you
how
also
they got.
Don't do your sister.
You don't. And the interesting thing about
you're
that
about to
whole
say funny and it's not funny.
It's the interesting thing about that is in the game. Because in most age games. You go through your one arc, you get one girl, you play another game, you get one girl, and so on and so forth until you bang them all. That's just kind of...
Yep, gotta bang them all. That's what happened with me in Honey Pop.
So, yeah. Well, in this H game, I guess the added bonus was no matter who you initially bang of the outside girls, the main relationship is always Haru and Sora's. So you concretely get to bang two chicks every game. Because you always bang your sister.
No! You never bang your sister!
Yeah, you bang your sister.
No! Ew!
So.
No, ew! Okay, and can we just for a hot second talk about how graphic the banging between the twins is?
Those boobies made me jealous.
I was just like, dude, number one, it's your twin sister.
And you kind of look like your sister.
Exactly.
You're twins.
Okay, so that, number two. Number three, I don't care who you are, you don't get a blowjob ever from your sister before you've even had breakfast on a school day.
Important meal of the day?
No! Breakfast! Not blowjob from your sister before school! And then joke as you're running to class that you're late and she's like, well, it's because you were fighting me. No! No! Ew! No! Ew! 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 Ew!
So in short, guys, don't do your sisters.
Don't do your sister!
And sisters, don't do your sisters.
And don't do your brothers, your cousins, anybody you share any chromosomes with, anybody that actually could donate a kidney or any other important vital organ because it would be a match, just don't bone them. In real life or in anime, please and thank you, Ninja Sister. Because, ew! All I wanted was a simple slice of life marathon, not sister boning!
Sorry, bro.
And they didn't even sneak it up on you, cause like after you get through like the fourth conquest, there's just the moment where the sister's in her room having her fantasy about a brother, and a brother sees it, and then you're like, oh hell.
Oh man, that in the first episode when the girl is at the house and she's sitting in the chair and she's all like Haru, and then like it fades off. I'm like, please don't tell me she's rubbing one out right now. But then it goes to just her, you know, spinning in it. And I'm like, that's a great symbolic reference.
I was like, oh.
Like I was like, oh, we're starting off early, huh?
I was like, no. And that's when I was like, I'm so confused right now because there's bone. And I can't tell if it's an imaginary bone, like daydream. Because no. This dude is running through every chick in town. And yeah. Then, after banging some of the chicks, they then group together like, oh, we've got to get him together with this one. I'm like, but y'all fucked. I don't
not
know.
Not in girl. That time. They're I all different know. Time points.
It took me a second to get that. And then when I got that, I'm like, all right, but this still makes less than any damn sense where these scenes are happening and the conversations happening all over them. I appreciate you explaining that. That makes them make a little bit more sense. But still, at the end of the day,
he bones his sister, and that's the relationship he wants.
And that's when you get cut off. I'm using that a lot. I've watched a lot of Pitch Perfect lately.
Apparently so.
And, that's just going to be my thing now because, no, sister boning bad.
Sister boning bad.
All right. So, Yosuba no Sora, you want to watch a dude bang every chick in town, including his sister? Go for it. But it's really graphic.
I mean, if you really want to watch twincest that has a purpose. I'm going to be real here, okay? Because when I first started watching this, the first thing I thought to myself was,
are you going
to
say Angel Sanctuary?
It was Angel Sanctuary meets Onegai Twins. And yeah, I was like, okay, that's kind of weird.
I've never watched Angel Sanctuary.
Eshmom got it for me when I had my wisdom teeth taken out because she saw pretty angels on the cover at Blockbuster.
Yeah. Oh, Eshmom.
And then I watched it and said, do you realize that the main character, the boy, they're siblings, and they want a bone? Because, and she's like, what? And I'm like, yeah, there's incest in this. And she was like, but the angels were, I know, very pretty. I know. It was hilarious. Anyway. And then she got me Ninja Squirrel, which in the first, like, 3 seconds of that movie, the ninja...
But there's no incest in it, at least.
No, no. But a woman ninja gets, trapped by a man who decides to, like... And he's, like, this giant man, like, abnormally sized for a man. And he's like, well, before I kill you, I'm gonna have my fun with you. And literally takes his giant toad of a tongue and, like, inserts it into her vagina like a sideways taco. And, like, he's going to town on her. And I'm like, But she has poison in her body, so it kills him.
Yep.
So, and I'm like, yeah, Mom, so that happened in that other video you rented from. And I bought them both, like, 2 weeks later because they were amazing. She just doesn't get the idea. She doesn't understand the concept of, she didn't understand the anime. But if you want to watch a series that has twincest with a purpose...
And I'm your statement is invalid. There's no purpose to twins.
And the purpose is really, 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 really light. Like, it really shouldn't count as one, but I'm trying to justify it.
It's not purpose, it's a reason, because that's not purpose.
I'm trying to justify it.
Don't.
It's Angel Sanctuary, because one, the great thing about Angel Sanctuary is that there are only 3 episodes because they never finished the series.
Well, and two, I wonder why.
And they got through why the twincest happened by reincarnation, and you know, like they found their loophole, so yeah. It works. Now, granted, mm-hmm. It has not aged well
mm-mm.
at all,
mm-hmm.
and it like it's re-shocked me since rewatching it.
That's
but,
a big hell no.
But it has a reason. So
question mark exclamation point.
But that's really it. I mean, just, you know, if you really want to watch a series that has twins that you could imagine whatever you want to, you could always watch Hose Club and look at those twins and just imagine because, you know.
Hey, let's stop talking about twincest. How about that?
Twincest. Sorry. I could talk about twincest for quite a long time.
I know you can, but we're not going to, because I'm going to move on to an anime that seemingly, at least right now, because a lot of animes be trying to fool me, does not have twincest in it.
Wait, did it make you think it had twincest in it?
No, I'm just saying, I walk into a scene that looks like a slice of life, twincest. Okay, I started watching another series that looked like it was just going to be a high school life drama.
It looked like a man and it turned into a banana.
It turned into a duck.
Quack.
And I was like, no, make it quack. And they're like, make it quack. And I was like, no. Why you do this to me, internet? You lie like some bitch. So that. But I needed something that did not have sex in it. Not that I'm a prude. Like, I have nothing against hentai, okay? To each his own. And there are some that I've watched where I'm like, ah, it's actually not a bad series. Like, you throw the sex out, it's actually really, really good. With the sex in, and it's good. You know, I don't have a problem with that. But, like, my line is incest, man. Like, no, there's no story you can give me where I'm like, yeah, they need to bang. It's
bang,
cool.
Bang, bangity bang. I said bang, 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 bang.
Yeah, no, wrong. Cut off. Okay, incest, line, no, no go. I will go with just about anything else. I'm okay with tentacle fucking. Okay, because if you're in space, I can accept that there are beasts with tentacles who are like, I'm going to figure this out. Because she's dope.
I'm the Benedict Cumberbatch of tentacle aliens. Right? I want to make alien love to you. Yes, please.
Right, like I can accept that. I could stretch my disbelief and be like, sure, I mean, why not?
If I was you in that situation, I might have to close my eyes at first and let it just happen.
And just accept it. Because you've got Benedict Cumberbatch octopus in your ear talking to you. You're like, this exactly. is okay. This is okay. Yeah. Just close your eyes. This is okay. Okay.
It's like meatless spaghetti balls. They taste right. the same. Close your eyes.
Exactly. Delicioso. All right. I can go with, hey, we are in alternate universes where demons are everywhere. And hey, demons might fall in love with humans. So they be fucking. I'm okay there too. All right. Hey. I have no problem with Rin.
Oh, God, Rin.
Okay.
Goddess of Mythnason.
Yeah. Yeah. That one. That one.
Esmom wanted to buy that for me too. And I'm like, no.
Yeah,
no, like, it was hilarious. She was like, I want to buy that for you because it looks really good. And I saw like a preview on Amazon, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, okay. And then I looked at her, I'm like, hey, mom, here's the full clip of that clip you saw. And she's like, is that a, I'm like, hermaphrodite? Yeah. And he raped her, like right there.
Yeah.
And she's like, I should stop picking out anime. I'm like, no, don't. Don't.
I know. She had an uncanny ability to find the hentai.
Like, she just was a magnet.
But
all of it.
But I don't mind it, but my line is incest. Like, that's where I'm like, no, you guys are just being disgusting right now. Just because you can be disgusting. Because there's no reason that he has to bone his sister. There are 9 other girls in town that he can bone.
And they all want to bone him.
So go there and leave the sister alone. Let her be pissed that she's not getting boned.
The ending of that series could have been him having just a massive orgy with the other 9 girls and been like, I don't need my sister. The end.
Right, and the sister just being off in the other room pissed, and I would be like, yeah, alright, cool, dig it. We would not be having this conversation.
Right.
But they didn't do that.
Nope.
Okay, and then they even had a comment, because I was reading up about it, where basically the director's like, we're just trying to find more ways to put more porn in. So there's after credits, if you actually watch the after credits.
No, I didn't. I just went straight for the meat and potatoes.
The after credits actually run. So remember the first episode where the maid and the refined sister drive past the twins?
And he's like, walking? Oh, he's totally my type.
Yep. She is on the arc to bone him in the after credits.
Of course.
So literally everything with tits except for one girl who actually really likes the dude. Gets boned.
Yeah.
You know, the one that ends up crying.
Right.
She's the only one that doesn't get boned. Every other girl, including the maid, in the after credits...
Gets boned.
Gets them. So, that. Let's move on, like I said, from that to something else. And that something else is completely right now, and I'm only 3 episodes in, because it just started this season, Sex Free. That might change, because they keep sneaking it in everywhere. And I'm just like, oh, this is really... What? Aw, man. But this one is called The Asterisk War. And this one I like for a couple of reasons. One, it's an action anime, and I really dig those, especially when they're based off of people having special abilities or discovering their special abilities, which are the 2 main lines, typically in most action anime. And so this one is based off of manga.
Okay.
And I believe it has a game. right now, the producers are Funimation, but it is airing on both Funimation and Crunchyroll. And basically, it takes place in a academy that is its own, almost like sovereign nation. It's the academy city on the water. And there are a bunch of different prestigious schools that surround the academy.
Okay.
And people with the ability to wield
weapons.
Light weapons are able to go to these academies, hone their skills, and then each of the academies has basically a battle of the schools to find out what school can actually churn out the baddest ass warrior, and they get a lot of accolades, they end up getting more money, they can bring in more students, and it's a big honor to win that battle.
Sounds like Ivy League schools, if you ask me.
Kind of.
But with battles.
So, the city is called Rika, and also known as Asterisk, hence the Asterisk War, because they're all going to go to school, all the schools are going to go to fight. And basically, the fight, which tickled me to death, is called the Star Wars Festival.
Okay.
I was like, nerd joke, like you already! But basically, the light weapons that I mentioned, the shining armaments, they're all different types of weapons, and they all have basically like a lightsaber effect. They're light weapons, but they're all different shapes. So some people have lance types, axe types, rapier types, broadsword types, and there are some that are of legend that only people who have a complete bio match to the weapons can wield them. And so you have to take a test in order to see that you match. And you have to match above 80% before you can wield that weapon. You can basically lease it out from the school and use it through all your battles. As you're progressing through your school days, random people can challenge each other to ranking battles.
Shokugeki!
Basically.
But with light weapons.
But with light weapons. And so the series starts with what seems to be an underground battle going on between this really cute girl with glasses and purple hair wielding this badass purple weapon and fighting this guy. And she loses the fight and dies, like bleeds out in this awful pool of blood. And her last words are, I'm sorry, Ayato. And then it fades to this new guy who you go, oh, that must be Ayato, going to the new school. And he basically has been working his butt off to get into the academy, to go to the school that he believes his sister went to and disappeared from, because there's no record of her fight or what happened to her, just that she disappeared. So he's finally come of age because he was her younger brother. And so he's going to the school to track down and try to figure out what happened to his sister.
And possibly and hopefully avenge her if anything shady.
Where she is. And if he can't find where she is, to avenge her. Okay. But he is really happy-go-lucky, very, very positive. Turns out, ridiculously powerful, though. And was originally supposed to go to this school, but his father was like, no, actually, your power's kind of crazy off the charts, so we can't let you go because you might accidentally kill someone not knowing that you're going to. So we're going to send your sister instead. You just stay here at the temple. We can, you know, keep track of your power, keep it under wraps until you can, like, really handle it. But he's come of age, so he's like, fuck all y'all, I'm going to find out what happened to my sister because none of y'all seem to give a shit. So it's basically a revenge action series because we know...
Like it's a Kamega Kill!
Kind of. And because we, the viewer, know right off the bat, sister's dead. She dead as shit.
Right, so we're watching him figure it out.
Exactly. And you have a bunch of people that he encounters along the way at the school that are your typical stereotype characters. So there's the girl on a mission from a prominent family that's no longer prominent, so she's trying to prove herself and being the ice princess for people because she's just really, really insecure but also very focused on achieving her goal. They meet, like, first out, and she's like, oh, I heard that you are in line to maybe test out for the, I'm going to say this wrong, so I'm just going to call it the Vestus, which was the blade that his sister was wielding. And she's like, you're obviously not powerful enough to do that. And you also hopped into my room and saw my panties, so you have to die now. And is fighting this battle, and as they're in the middle of it, these light arrows come from nowhere. He sees them before we, even as the viewer, sees them. Knocks her out of the way because they're actually heading for her. Turns out she's a princess.
Of course she is.
Aren't they all? And one of the student council members, who is the sweet, bubbly, and obviously a little sexually pent up and overly affectionate senpai with long blonde flowing hair type, shows up, invalidates their battle, and is like, oh, he can't finish his fight because he actually has to finish his paperwork because he's not officially a student yet. And then they get to her office and he's like, what are you talking about? I signed off on everything. She's like, I know, but it was the easiest way to get you out of the fight. And I'm going to take care of you and it's all good. So tomorrow come see me and I'll show you the Vestas and whatever. And then he leaves and she's like, oh my God, you're finally here. I'm so happy. And so she already has the warm fuzzies for the dude and you don't know why.
Right.
Because you're like, I'm pretty sure y'all have never met yet.
Do you think maybe she had some connection to the sister who talked very highly of her brother?
I think so, because she lets him know. She's like, look, I've gone through all of our files because I know that you are concerned about your sister. And she goes, I can't find any trace of her after this certain date. And what I did find is this corrupted file, because everything after that has been wiped clean and doesn't exist anywhere. But this one corrupt file tells me that there was a battle with Vestas the day after your sister supposedly disappeared, but then Vestas was checked back in. So I don't know how there's fight data recorded.
And if your sister the weapon was already...
So something went down and your sister used it, but I don't know what. And I can't get the full data. And like shows on the screen that's all like pixelated and bitmapped and things like that. She's like, so it's like she's been scrubbed clean from ever being at this school, but I know she was. So whatever you need to do to find out, whatever you need to find out, I support you. So you're like, oh, good. He's got a buddy. And then, of course, he meets the buddy pal who's not exactly, like, super awesome with his weapon, but definitely has his bros back characters. So I like the style of it. The animation style reminds me a lot of Log Horizon and...
Well, you would love some Log Horizon.
Yeah, her Log Horizon's good. And also, as far as the battles go and their intensity and how they're choreographed, it reminds me a lot of Sword Art Online, with this very kind of interesting, at least so far to episode 3, backstory of this brother trying to find out what happened to his sister. So if you're in the market for an action anime that has a pretty